He's a great friend, and he's a guy who is so grown. I'm just excited for all of you who don't know Russ to be able to meet him and his family today. They're a joy to us as they represent the Lord in Australia. And I'm really excited because I don't get to hear Russ preach often. I mean, being in Australia, that's a shock to you, right? But we don't get to hear Russ preach often. So for him to be able to come here to spend the whole day to preach the Word of God to us, what a blessing to us as a congregation. So Russ, we're thrilled to have you here. We love you. And we're praying for you to just bring the Word to us this morning.
Well, good morning. Good on you. Mate. That's actually probably a good place for us to start. Well, indulge me just for a minute. That last song that you sang, thank you for singing that. All you have to do is just picture a family in their first couple months being on the mission field, being away from the church that they love. And going to a church we really didn't know that well. And that song came on. That song came on, and our whole van was in tears because we just are so thankful. I think we went back a couple slides for some reason. So if you want to go ahead a couple. There's Sean. Oh, actually, I'll go ahead. Ah, beautiful. There we go. All right. Let me start with an apology. I even heard it this morning, and we became citizens, not that I have to apologize for that, but we're dual citizens to Australia just a few months ago, and went through quite a bit of paperwork. We had to dole out a certain amount of funds for it, and we even had to take a test to become citizens of Australia. And we received in the post one day an envelope that stated, "You are now citizens to this fine country of Australia." But something was missing. An accent. We didn't get the accent. It didn't come in the post. Even this morning, somebody complained about the fact that I didn't have an accent. And understand this, is that really, Americans trying to do an Australian accent has to be one of the most embarrassing things we've experienced in Australia. So you probably won't be hearing it from me today, mate. All right. I was told by a good friend of mine that when missionaries come to talk, we want to hear the stories. We want to hear the stories. I think it was good advice. So let me start here. Once upon a time. It pulls you in, doesn't it? I mean, it makes your ears go forward, even as adults. Children, yes, but even adults, we kind of move forward a little bit and you go, oh yeah, I want to hear. This is going to be the story. And that's what we're going to be able to hear today. And what's great about it, today what I'll be able to put a caveat on or an extra that actually people pay extra money to go see movies or pay books for is based on a true story. But really this story that I have to share with you today goes so far beyond just the once upon a time mentality or idea. And it really goes back to in the beginning God. That's the best start. That's the best place we could be. Because really, our story is his story. And hopefully today, you wouldn't come away with it going, wow, look at what the Matthews are doing. I'd pray that you would come away going, wow, look to see what God is doing around the world. And the fact that he lets the Matthews be a part of it, it's pretty cool. That's what we stand here today to be able to share with you and be able to talk to you about. We're going to look at it through a biblical lens. We're going to take and we're going to open up to Romans 10. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at it through that. I'm not going to probably do as great a job as maybe Mark or Pastor Pat. Because really, I'm going to be telling a story, but I want to do it through the Word of God. Because that is really where we need to settle when we're looking at these things today. But what I wanted to do first, though, once you've kind of found your place there in Romans 10, is that this one is for the guys, for the blokes, for the gents. This story has pictures. What I'm going to do is kind of start off with the pictures, and maybe that'll keep you throughout the rest of my talk then. And what I'm going to show you is a short video clip. It really kind of talks about what Australians think of themselves, of ourselves, in a lot of ways. But you'll see some different things. You're kind of going, what about that? You watch this video, and you'll go, there's a spiritual element to it in a way, if you really watch it. But then, I'll introduce you to a mate of mine who I'm going to tell you his story later. His name's Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's going to be interviewing some people on the streets of Sydney, talking to them about God and Jesus and what they think. And then finally, we'll be able to show you just a short clip of just some of the things that the Lord has been doing through us. And we're just privileged to be here to share with you. So we're starting off with some pictures, and then we'll get into the Word. Here we go. Sound would be good at this point.
I'm the drought and the flood and rains. I'm the rock and down the sky. The rivers when they run. The spirit of this great, great land. I am Australia. 'Cause we are one. But we from all the lands on earth we come, we share a dream.
Actually, I'm a Muslim. I'm a convert Muslim. I converted to Islam.
Can I ask you one simple question? What do you think of God?
Be careful. I've never seen him.
Never seen him.
Do you believe there is a God?
Maybe.
You believe there is a God?
No.
No. No. God is.
God is Allah.
God is Allah. Do you believe in God?
Yeah, to some extent.
Who do you think God is?
I don't really know.
But do you have an idea?
I just thought he was like a being, really. Like a being that's everywhere.
Have you heard of Jesus Christ?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Who is Jesus Christ?
He was a man that died 2,000 years ago on the cross.
Why did he die on the cross?
For our sins.
Question about life. Give me your views of God.
I'm not sure how to answer that.
Question about life. Do you believe in God?
No.
Do you know who Jesus Christ was?
He was the Son of God, yeah.
Do you know what he came to earth for?
No. No.
So you don't follow any faith yourself?
That's right.
I love.
Praise God. We are so grateful to be here today, and as we look into Romans 10, starting at the sentence mark number 13, let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we just thank you for this day today. We thank you. We pray that you would get the credit, the glory, and all the focus. But also, Lord, we pray that people would be able to see and understand and know more about who you are and also what you're doing around the world. I pray today I wouldn't be boring, but there'd be an opportunity to be able to communicate with enthusiasm what it is that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, and we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The woman in the red jacket, I think, epitomizes Australian culture in so many ways. Do you believe in God? No. Do you know who Jesus is? The Son of God. Funny, but yet also awkward. And really talking to people in that context, but so many people don't really understand that you can kind of hold on to two different ideas. But really what we have the opportunity of doing is communicating to people clearly through his word who Jesus is. And that's what we're going to do today. Sentence mark number 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are they calling him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed that he has heard from us? And so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have you not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out into the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have been shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Yes, we do say Isaiah in Australia. At the last church I was at, somebody actually corrected me, thinking that I was saying it wrong. I said, mate, you're in the wrong country. Yes, I understand that, but this is where I'm going to be today. I'm still, my heart's in Australia in so many ways. We were at one church, and I finished with this passage. A young lady actually read it for me, and she said, are you sure you want to finish on that verse? That is such a downer verse. And I said, well, that's fascinating, because really, it's really where I do want to start today. Is looking at the fact that it really kind of opens the door for us to understand a little bit more about who we are reaching in Australia. It's a passage out of Isaiah 65:2 that Paul is utilizing to be able to talk about the nation of Israel. And I don't think it's wrong for me to put, I'm not putting Australia into the Bible, but it helps me to get a glimpse of who it is that we're reaching. I was on the train. You saw the train that I ride into the city every single day, 50 minutes in, 50 minutes out. Had a lot of time to talk with people. I was talking to a gentleman one day, and he was saying to me, he said, we were talking about sport. We were talking about Jesus, the Bible. He got tired of that, and so he went back to sport again. And he finally turned to me. He goes, look, mate, you need to understand. Sunday, it's not church day. Sunday is sport day. Sunday's sport day. And I thought it was an interesting statement because that was pretty early on in our career there in Australia. And I went and looked it up. And he was right. There are more people in one stadium of a city of 6 million people, just one stadium, much less all the other football games going on, in one stadium there are more people than in all the Bible-believing churches in all of Sydney. Well, all you have to do is just go to my office downtown Sydney. Right out behind it, there's a monument to the first church that was built in Australia. A monument, not a building. Because the prisoners who were brought over from England, it was a penal colony originally from England, and the prisoners were told part of your rehabilitation is you have to go to church. And they said, no, we won't. And they burned the church to the ground. That's really been the attitude towards church, generally speaking, throughout its history. Even when we were taking our test for citizenship, it talked about the fact that we are a secular nation based on Judeo-Christian laws. 3% of the population knows Christ as their Savior. And yet, we have such a privilege and such an honor to be able to go in and represent Christ in this area of the world. a disobedient and contrary people. But the other thing I like about this passage, too, is that it brings out another portion of the text. It says in 18, their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. It's a quote from Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, it's really talking about general revelation. You can look out on this earth and go, wow, look at God's creation. Look at what he's speaking. We're able to know who he is. But the way Paul is applying it here, it's really almost kind of a rebuke. Saying, look, you aren't getting it. I've been sending it out, but I'm going to take it to the people. I'm going to take it to the Gentiles, this message, this good news of hope. It's going to be taken out. I don't think Paul had any idea that Australia even existed. But that's really what we have the opportunity of doing. We got off the plane a few years ago, and a gentleman was talking to us. He said, you know what's great about Sydney? Is that it's the mission field where the mission comes to you. Come to our church. Thomases have been there, primarily Lebanese, Middle Eastern, and Mediterranean background. Come hang out at one of my Bible reading groups on any given Tuesday, Wednesday. Sitting across from me would be somebody from the Philippines, Hong Kong, Singapore, India, Pakistan. I'm the only Anglo or white person in the room, and I'm the funny one with the accent. It's a multicultural nation. We have so many opportunities to reach people in portions of the world that we can't even set foot in their countries most of the time legally. But yet they're coming to us in an atmosphere where they can come and know more about Jesus Christ and who he is. But then we get to the meat of this text, and we really begin to see what it is that we're doing there. And now when they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how beautiful, and how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I absolutely love this passage. Now you say, yeah, well, you're a missionary. I said, no. I love this passage on a much more personal level. It's going to get a little uncomfortable for some of you. I apologize. But you need to understand is that the transforming message of the good news of Jesus Christ not only has an impact on your mind and on your heart, but also on your feet. After 30 years of running every single day, and now living in a country where we primarily wear thongs or flip-flops. Let's see if you're awake. I have really ugly feet. I do. My kids will tell you, please cover those things up. But because of this passage, what the Lord has given me is an opportunity to actually have beautiful feet. And it's not because of how good they look. I think John Piper actually says it quite eloquently. Beautiful feet are not soft, pedicured, painted, well-tanned feet. Beautiful feet are the dirty, worn, wrinkled, leathery, scarred feet for many miles of trekking into the remote places with good news that could not be heard any other way. Beautiful for their worn-out feet in the service of the King, Jesus. I'm so thankful that that's what we have the opportunity of doing and being a part of. And you're a part of that too. And supporting us and being there with us in prayer. And we talk throughout this passage of the sending and the preaching and the hearing and the believing and the calling on God. But what we do is we take it more of a simple tone and we take it down to four key things. Three E's and an M. We engage, we equip, we mobilize, and we establish people. Reaching them with the good news. I work with two different organizations. I work with ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and I also work with a group called City Bible Forum, downtown Sydney, that does evangelism and meeting people where they are with the good news of Christ. It's a dual-income society. Both the workforce is both men and women. The majority of people are out of the home and in the workplace. And so that's where we reach people. 3% of the population goes to church. 3% of the population knows Christ. I don't know if they all go to church, but 3% knows Christ. Evangelism has to be what we do. Evangelism is what we have to be a part of and be in reaching people. To rely on church growth being transfer growth, what you've done in Australia by relying on transfer growth is you've killed another church somewhere else. It has to be about evangelism, and I believe that's true here too. It has to be about engaging people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do in a unique way. It's very different. The City Bible Forum is an Australian-based group. They're all Australians. I'm the only one that's actually in the office with an American accent. I'm an Australian now, so I can actually say they're all Australians. But what we do is on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have large public forums where we have about 200 plus people come along each week. About 50% of the audience would be non-Christian. And we have the opportunity of working through a portion of the Bible. Be able to, then, at the end of the talk, which is about 20 minutes long, during the lunch hour, then they're allowed to ask questions from the floor. Yes, you can ask questions about the Bible. God's big enough, the Bible's big enough to handle it. And we should. And we should allow an atmosphere where non-Christians can come in on a regular basis and ask those questions, because that is what really helps, especially in Australian culture. It's about the debate. It's about the discussion. It's about getting together and not just hearing somebody speak about what they think is right. They want to discuss and go back and forth on it. It's a great atmosphere, but it can be quite scary. When I speak in the city, I used to actually prepare as much for the questions that I think were going to be asked as what I actually do in the talk. But most of the time, because I've been a Christian since I was 14 years of age, I don't always think as the non-Christian thinks. And to prepare for those questions, I really have to rely on the Lord and be trained. We also do Bible reading groups, one of my favorite things to do. And we have small groups that meet inside of large corporations. We have about 30 or 40 different organizations that we are allowed to go in and have Bible discussions inside in boardrooms and things like that around Sydney. Now, this is with partners or Christians that are inside of those organizations. Mine is at Westpac Bank. They have the opportunity of speaking to people on a regular basis. We just finished, when I was leaving, the Book of Ruth. The young lady who was sitting there, and the whole time, she just stared at the first chapter of Ruth the whole time, and she was going, and she didn't say anything. Finally, she looks up at me, and she said, "You know what? The person who brought me to this today said that this was a love story. I don't see the love story yet." I said, "Well, hold on. Ruth is a beautiful love story, but you know what's great about the Bible? That's all about a love story. A love story that God loves you. Come back. We can talk more about that." Constantly having opportunities in an atmosphere where people may not walk down the street, they definitely won't go to church with you, but to come down the hall and talk with you over a lunch hour, they'll do it. We also do street evangelism. We go out and talk to people on the streets, a pair of people just going out. Jeffrey, the guy you saw before, goes out and does street evangelism on a regular basis too. We had a gentleman that came to Australia. He's from one of our churches here in Iowa. Good friend, farmer. Never really been in a large city the size of Sydney before. And Don, he goes, "Hey, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll serve in any way." I said, "Great, Don, today, guess what you're going to get to do? You're going to go out and do street evangelism with my mate, Barry." And he said, "No, I'm not." I said, no, I think you are. You're going to go out today. I think you're going to really get a lot out of this opportunity of being able to talk to other people about Jesus Christ on the streets." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'll pray for Barry." Because, you know, we never send out two Americans, because then we look like Mormons. So I sent him out with Barry. I said, "Barry's actually the head of our street evangelism team." And they go out, I mean, Monday through Thursday, they're out on the streets. It's an outdoor nation. People are out there. They're smoking their cigarettes. They're out there having their lunch, doing whatever. It's heaps of opportunity for us to be able to go and reach people right there. It's an exciting atmosphere to be in, but it can be quite daunting and scary. And it was for Don that day. An hour and a half later, Don came back. And you know what? I grew up with factory workers and farmers as all my relatives. He's a farmer. I usually don't move too fast sometimes. But he made a beeline to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Guess what I got to do today?" "What'd you get to do, Don?" "There's a guy that just came off the plane from China. He'd never heard the name of Jesus Christ before. And I got to introduce him. Do you want to do it again, Don?" "Definitely." That's what we do on a regular basis, is just going out and reaching people for Christ. We engage them with the good news of Christ. There's so many other areas that we do and other opportunities that we have that are up there. We do outreach within the legal community. We also have an outreach that's specifically to the skeptics. There's a whole skeptic society in Australia, if you can believe it. Can you imagine being a part of that group? "Are you sure you're supposed to be here?" "I don't know." But we have this unique opportunity of meeting people where they are with the good news of Christ. We also mobilize and equip Christians to be able to do that themselves, because we're only an office of about 11 to 12 people on any given day. And so we have to partner with the Christians that we do know in the workforce to be able to go through and talk with other people about Jesus Christ and knowing them. We train them on doing evangelism in the workplace, and we also train them on how to do evangelistic Bible studies. I was able to do an evangelistic outreach, if you can believe, inside Westpac. Over 100 people came at 4 different locations at Westpac Bank. And then we were able to do a series of the life of Jesus after that, allowing people to come in and do a small group Bible study and talking about the historical person of Jesus. We equip and train. And also I work within our churches of working with a group called the Urban Fight Club and training young men up to fight for their faith, their family, and the church or the body. Most of the guys in our church, we have a bunch of young men in our church, and most of them weren't doing anything. Our pastor was like wondering how we could get them mobilized. I asked, how do you mobilize these guys? And he said, well, I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would direct them. I said, well, with young men, I'll show you how you do that. You do it like that, or you do it like this, and you say, do this. I need you to help me with that. Come alongside them. Train them. I'll tell you a little bit of a story about Aaron here in a moment, who will actually explain that whole component of it, of how it was able to grow and develop our church. And that's really what we're on about finally. It goes from engaging, equipping, mobilizing, and then finally establishing people in the local body, the local church. It's essential. They have to be a part of the church. We have to get them into good Bible-believing churches. This is the pastor we work with down the lower left-hand corner, Sam and his wife, Luddy. Kathy up there working with one of the ladies' groups called Women of Worth, and then also Urban Fight Club, and I help out with the preaching and the teaching in that church. We're excited about getting back. We're excited about seeing them. We'll be back there next Sunday. We'll be back there, so we'll be praying for that. But also, if you could be praying for us, we really ask for a specific direction from the Lord. We've been given opportunity with a couple church plant opportunities that are coming up around the city. Australians actually approaching us to be a part of it. I jokingly turned to some of them and said, hey, you know, that's not how it's supposed to work. You know, I'm the missionary. I'm supposed to recruit you. But the fact that they want us to be a part of it is quite exciting. And we just pray for God's wisdom in that process. So that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. There's so much more. I mean, it's hard to bring in just a few minutes to be able to bring in 4.5 years of our life. But that's really what, if you could take anything away, hopefully you'd be able to take away the 3 E's and an M. But then also, one thing that really niggles at my brain sometimes, I'll get to their stories here in just a minute, is verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, you can say amen. You can get excited. That's amazing. That statement right there, if it doesn't get you excited and pumped up, I don't know what other passage could. Amen. Even if you go back just a little bit further and go into verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. What an opportunity. That's right. But what's interesting about it, when I'm talking in a story about a land far, far away, I even got asked the other day by a young lady who sat at our table a few weeks ago, and she said, Australia? Really? A mission field? Why Australia? And instead of taking it personally, I can understand, because the thing is, when you come to Australia and do missions there, it's people work. I can't have you dig holes. I can't have you build anything because it's against the law. Unions are too strong down there. So to go through and explain that missions is all about just reaching people for Christ and just person to person, and I really sometimes take it internally and go, yeah, Australia. But then all I have to do is look at that number that says 3% of the population knows Christ as their Savior, turn it upside down and say 97% of the population is going to hell. There's a lot of work to do. And that's a mission field. And usually what I say to most people when they ask me why Australia, why not Australia? Why not Australia? And that's what we do. We reach people for Christ and giving them the opportunity to be saved. For the Lord to direct them to that relationship, and that's where these two stories come in here. The first story is the gentleman on the left, the one he saw Jeffrey walking through the streets. Met Jeffrey about a few months in. He was sitting in the back of City Bible Forum because he's a non-Christian, and that's where all the non-Christians sit. They sit in the back row because they don't want to be too close to the holy man, and they got to get out the door as quick as they possibly can. And Jeffrey and I just went back and forth. We built a great friendship over the years. And he and I just discussing different components, different things about American culture, Australian culture, about the Bible and all these things. And through a group effort and through the work and through the Holy Spirit, about a year and a half ago, Jeffrey became a Christian. You guys have met him. This guy's on fire. Now, here's the thing is, he's retirement age. You sure he can become a Christian at that old? Well, what's amazing about him is that we got him established in a good Bible-believing church, and he started going to Bible studies, and they're going, wow, how long have you been a Christian? So, well, just a couple months. So, really? How do you know so much? He said, well, I've been going along to this group called City Bible Forum on a weekly basis, and I guess I've learned a fair bit. And now he heads up one of our street evangelism teams and just got back from being in London and Bangkok showing them how to do street evangelism in the business sector. And he's retirement age? Can he do that? Jeffrey is an inspiration. If you ever have the opportunity to come to Australia, you have to meet Jeffrey. But guess what? If you meet him, you're going to have to go out and do street evangelism with him, just so you know. Aaron is the guy on the right. I met him in one of the first churches we were in. He's a young guy who's a Christian, but he's an art student. I call him kind of my Eeyore project. You know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Always kind of with the cloud over his head. How you doing, Aaron? Okay. Are you a Christian? Yeah. What's going on with your life? Nothing. Stinks. But he and I got together and we started wrestling through the Bible and talking about different things and all the questions that he had about the Bible and what it is to be a Christian. And all of a sudden the clouds started parting. And within a year he was like, you know what? I want to do something. I want to do missions. I want to help people out. I want to do ministry, but I'm an art student. How do I do that? And in that time, I got to know and become a good friend of a gentleman named Malcolm Williams, who heads up a ministry called the Fellowship of Evangelism in the Visual Arts. The one thing Malcolm says that artists in general have in common and actually will agree on in Sydney is that they hate Jesus. Hard statement, isn't it? Aaron came to us just a few months before we left to our church asking for support to do missions work with FIVA inside this mission field. A dark field, but yet he's able to be a light in a unique way. Well, if you want to hear from someone else's words, how about hearing Viola's story?
Viola Deloy at the moment, and she normally attends the City Bible Forum at Angel Place. And just one question, what has been the impact for you when you go to City Bible Forum?
Basically, the impact was that I found about Jesus. I learned about Jesus and what he did for us. You know, he died for our sins. I thought the story of Jesus was just another story about Noah's Ark. But no, this is like the main thing of being a Christian. And, you know, thank God that a friend of mine who actually took me to CBF directed me to listen to the story, to the word. And praise God for that. Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Viola.
Thank you.
Praise God. Love Viola's story. Viola, I walked up. This guy tells you Australian culture. We don't do altar calls because Australians, the idea of actually putting their hand up or going forward in any sort of manner and drawing attention to themselves is quite offensive. And I walked up to Viola at the beginning of this year and I said, hey, Viola, how are you going? And she was different. She's going, I'm doing great. I said, really, why are you doing great? She said, I became a Christian. I said, great. When did you become a Christian? Right here. Really? When was that? A few months ago. Fantastic. You know, we didn't know. And then, but until we asked the question, but now what was exciting about it is seeing Viola just going forward and serving the Lord, being a part of a good church and growing in the Lord. That's what it's about. All these stories are just stories that are, again, credit to him because Viola made her story his story. Well, this is how I conclude. This is how I bring it to a close. I want to speak to two groups of people here as I conclude and draw your attention to something. The first group is to all of you who take the time and actually do grab one of those prayer cards in the back for any missionary, just not just for us. And take the time to pray. Maybe even take the time to write a check or throw some money into the bucket or whatever it is for the sake of missions. What I want to say to you is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're part of our team. You may not think that you are, but every single thing that you do for missions, not just for us, we are so thankful for. You're part of what's going on around the world. But the second thing is that, what's your story? I've told you mine. I've told you ours. I've been able to share with you what's going on around the world. But I don't know the difficulties, the searching, the seeking, the joyful components, the hopeful components of what you're doing, or if you're going through difficult times or just exciting times in your life. But whose story is it? Don Miller states this about the story of life. He says, somehow we realize the great stories are told in conflict, but we are unwilling to endure the potential greatness of the story we are actually in. We think God is unjust rather than a master storyteller. Are you willing to endure, to persevere, to seek God and trust Him, and understand that He is really the master storyteller? What's going on in your life right now? Maybe you're considering ministry. Are you in control? Are you writing the story? Or is He writing your story? Are you allowing Him to take it under His control? Maybe you're just looking for that next step. What do I do, Lord? What do I do for You? Like that Aaron question. How can I serve? I'm just a... Well, is it your story? Or is it His story? Are you writing it? Are you controlling it? Or is He writing your story? And finally, you know what? I don't know most of you. Many of you I do. I love seeing the faces out there, these familiar faces, but there's many I don't know. And I don't know where you are in relationship to your relationship with God. Do you understand that all I've been talking about is in credit to Jesus Christ? The fact that He died for all of our sins, including yours. If you turn to Him, as it says there in Romans 10:13, you can be saved. But guess what? You got to stop taking control of it, and you have to allow Him to write your story. Well, that's it. That's our story. Who do we look to? Who do we trust in? Well, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. And what I'm exciting to say to you today as we head out on Thursday on an airplane back to Sydney, back home, it's not the end. The adventure and the story continues. Thank you for being a part of that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day, and we just commit it to You. And I just pray for all those that are here. I pray that You would just do a work in the lives of the people that are here today. That they would see and understand and know that they can, too, have their story written by You. That really, You're writing it anyway. You are in control. But yet today, Lord, I pray that they would understand and give it over to You. For those who don't know You yet, that today would be the day. For those who are looking for the next step in their lives, that today would be the day. And that You would be the author and perfecter of their faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.saylorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.